Unfortunately, the opening comments and scriptures to introduce this message were not picked up on the recording.
I don't know what you would think about this text, but I'm satisfied that he isn't talking about physical violence here toward other people. The Word of God condemns that. When the soldiers came to John the Baptist inquiring what they should do, among other things, he said, do violence to no man. And James related how that the people were imposing on the just and killed and condemned them, and they did not resist you. So God's word forbids physical violence. One of the identifying remarks of the antediluvian world upon which the flood came was that the world was filled with violence. And the imaginations of men's hearts, their thoughts were only evil continually. The world or the earth was filled with violence. And the earth's filled with violence today. Everybody's on edge, and there's just a violent attitude in the world today. Don't cross anybody unless you want to get some backlash. Something coming back. Just don't cross anybody. I've never seen the time in my life. There may have been times like this, but I've never seen it in my life when people were as touchy as they are now. And as easily offended and to get hurt as they are now. Feelings just surfacing. Get anywhere around folks and you're likely to leave them offended or hurt and wonder how in the world you did it. Well, what did it do? Violence. People's hearts are filled with violence. But God's word condemns that. Well, what did he mean then when he said the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence and the violent take it by force? In the Amplified Bible, this text reads like this: and from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought for with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. Now, there's one place that it is entirely permissible to meet violence with violence. And that's here in this text. It's opened up right here. Violence is met with violence. The kingdom of heaven has suffered violent assault. That's from the devil's side. Coming against the kingdom of heaven, and violent men take it by force as a precious prize, that's from our side. And that's the attitude that we have toward the kingdom of heaven. Adam Clark comments on this text. He says, he that will take, get possession of the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and spiritual joy must be in earnest. All hell will oppose him in every step he takes. And if a man be not absolutely determined to give up his sins and evil companions and have his soul saved at all hazards and at every expense, he will surely perish everlastingly. This requires a violent earnestness. Since he isn't talking about physical violence toward other men, I conclude that he's talking about physical violence within yourself. And that it is violent opposition against yourself. The very first condition of discipleship, Jesus pronounced it in the 16th chapter of Matthew in verse 24. If any man will come after me or be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall seek to save his life will lose it. And he that will lose his life for my sake shall find it again. The very first condition of discipleship is to deny yourself. We haven't gotten very far, have we? Maybe we've been saved quite a little while, but we haven't gotten very far. Self is too predominant yet in the most of our lives. And that's the basic starting point. All this touchiness and tenderness and hurt feelings and offenses, that self causes that. We just haven't gotten very far. Now, one translation renders this Matthew 16, 24 and 25 this way. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For anyone who keeps his life for himself shall lose it. And anyone who loses his life for me shall find it again. Again, the Amplified Bible renders this text thus. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, that is, disregard, lose sight of and forget himself and his own interests, and take up his cross and follow me, cleave steadily to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. For whosoever is bent on saving his temporal life, his comfort and security here, shall lose eternal life. And whosoever loses his life, his comfort and security here, for my sake, shall find life everlasting. Adam Clark comments on this text, on the phrase, let him deny himself, in Matthew 16:24. He says the Greek word from which this phrase is translated may well be interpreted, let him deny or renounce himself fully in all respects, perseveringly. A follower of Christ will need to observe it in its utmost latitude of meaning in order to be happy here and glorious hereafter. A man's self is to him the prime cause of most of his miseries. He continues, this is Adam Clark on the next verse, 16:25 of Matthew. For whosoever will save his life, that is, shall wish to save his life at the expense of his conscience, and casting aside the cross, he shall lose it. The very evil he wishes to avoid shall overtake him, and he shall lose his soul into the bargain. See then how necessary it is to renounce oneself. But whatsoever a man loses in this world for his steady attachment to Christ and his cause, he shall have amply made up to him in the eternal world. It's a violent opposition if you're going to possess the kingdom of God. Let me tell you folks, right here's where the conflict is. Right in here's the battleground. Here's where the victory's going to be won or lost. Right in here is where the kingdom of God is going to be possessed, or it will not be possessed at all. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. It's in the hearts of men and women, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And if we do not possess it in our hearts, we do not possess it at all. Violent opposition against oneself, denying oneself, crucifying oneself, mutilating yourself. Be rough on yourself. Oh, but I love myself. Yeah, but be rough on yourself. Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. Why? It's better to enter into life maimed or halt or blind than having all of our members to be cast into hell. Folks, there's just one alternative. That's beat yourself into subjection, whip yourself down, or enter into eternal hell. That's the only alternative there is. It's better to enter into life with one hand, one foot, one eye, than to have all of your members to be cast into hell. Somewhere along the line, folks, we're going to have to whip ourselves and bring ourselves into subjection. And it may mean mutilating ourselves, beating up ourselves, whatever. But God said to do it. Put yourself down. I wonder how many in here are real happy with yourself. Would anybody hold up your hand and say, I'm real satisfied with myself? See, you don't like yourself, do you? Have you ever heard? I have many times people say, I hate myself for this or for that. Well, I just detest myself when something comes out and shows up in them that embarrasses them and isn't what it should be. I detest myself for that. Probably you said it, and I have too. I know I have. Probably you have. But we need to get busy with violent opposition against ourselves. You'll never possess the kingdom of God till yourself's put down. Again, the very first condition of discipleship is whipping yourself in line, bringing yourself under control. Let a man deny himself. And that's where the rub comes, folks. We love ourselves, but we also hate ourselves when ourself shows up and embarrasses us. And when things slip out of us that we didn't intend and maybe didn't even know it was there. We'll go away and say, I hate myself for that. I just detest myself for being like I am. Many times I've heard folks say, I don't like the way I am. Nobody held up the hand a while ago that they loved themselves or that they were satisfied with themselves. You don't like yourself either. But as having too much place in your life, I'll promise you that. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, verses 16 to 22 covers the story here. We have a rich young man coming to Jesus. And he fell down before him and worshipped him and said, Good master, what good thing can I do that I may have eternal life? He wanted eternal life. He wanted the kingdom of heaven. There he had found it. He was right in contact with it, with the author of eternal life. The one that could give him eternal life and tell him just how to get it, give him the details and show him the way through. He was right there. Jesus told him several things, and I think I see him just kind of tiptoeing and raising up while I'm practically in now. Well, everything he said, yet I'm already doing it. I'm just practically already in the kingdom of God. But the fatal blow fell on his soul when he gave him that last requirement. If you would be perfect, sell what you have, give to the poor, take up your cross daily and follow me, you'll have treasures in heaven. And the young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Self beat him. If he'd have beat self at that point and complied with the conditions of Jesus, he would have laid hold on eternal life that day. But he didn't do it. Self rose up. And asserted itself. And he went away after having found eternal life and being right in the presence of the author of eternal life and one that could tell him how to get it and what to do. He went away without it. Self rose up and robbed him. He missed the kingdom of God. The prodigal son is a common story to all of us. We all know about him. And he went away from his father's house. He actually thought within himself that if I can get a little money now and get out from under my father's control, I can really go places and do things. He thought he could. But he found out he couldn't. But he got his money. He got out from under his father's control. He went his way out there in the world and he found people out there doing things he didn't know humans did that way. He wasn't prepared for what he found out there. And he lost and wasted all of his substance and riotous living. Came to himself down in the pig pen and decided that he'd go back home. Oh, how humiliating it was to feed the swine, but I dare say it was more humiliating for that young fellow to get up and go back home and make the confession to his father that he went back to make. That fellow had to whip himself down, beat himself under, go back to his father and make his acknowledgments and his confession. We hear a lot about him, but we miss out many times on his brother. The prodigal had a brother. And the brother stayed home, tended the business, operated the farm, took care of everything, while the prodigal son was off out there wasting his father's substance and riotous living. But when the son came home, made his confessions, the father received him. They were having a big celebration and a joyous occasion because his son had come home. And his brother came in from the field. And he wanted to know what was going on. He asked one of the servants, and all the servant thought he'd just really be all excited and all up and join in the jubilance and everything. Well, he says, your brother's come home. The fellow that's been out and gone and lost all this time, he's come home. And your father's killed the fatted calf and invited in all the friends and neighbors, and they're having a jubilee time in there because your brother's come home. Self rose up in this fella. Beat him out of what he could have enjoyed right there. He could have gotten in on the banquet and went in there and hugged his brother, and they could have held some jubilant fellowship together and been glad to meet each other. But that wasn't the way it was. Folks, you know, jealousy and envy, that's a terrible thing. It robs many folks of many things that they could have and that they could enjoy. And this fella, this brother, could have been just right in there enjoying all of the fullness of that jubilant occasion there and that celebration, but jealousy rose up in him. His father came out and begged him to come in, and he browbeat his father and back-talked and bad-mouthed him and accused him of showing preference here. And here, your son that's been gone all this time and lived riotously and been spending his life and money and strength out there with harlots and all of that, he comes home and you have a big celebration for him. You never had anything like that for me, and I've been here all the time. I've been operating the farm, I've been taking care of business, been managing the affairs around here and all, and you never killed any fatted calf for me. I never got any special preference. Never showed any favors to me. His father begged him to come in, but he wouldn't come. And his father went back and left him. And old self rose up and whipped him and brought him under. And he never even got a sandwich out of that banquet. His father never carried a thing out to him. But just look how obnoxiously self made that young fella behave. Self did it. Self's whipping people today. Folks, if we don't whip it, it'll whip us. That's just one thing about it. We're going to have to whip self into line, or self's going to whip us. There are many more examples of this that could be shown in the Bible and out of it, and even in our own times. But everybody that has followed this course and has been dominated by their self and their self-life and self-interest have missed the kingdom of God and missed out on eternal life. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. In the third chapter of 2 Timothy, In the second verse, Paul is enumerating here a number of conditions that will prevail in the last days. Now, our day hadn't come yet when Paul was writing this, but we're living in our day and we see these things coming to pass, every one of them coming to pass, just like the Apostle Paul wrote it. He wrote it just as clearly and distinctly through the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he could write it today if he were right here seeing things happen just like they're happening, and things going on just like they're going on today. But among several other things he said was that men would be lovers of their own selves. Well, I suppose that there have always been men that have been lovers of their own selves. And perhaps there have been many men that were lovers of their own selves. From the beginning of the human race clear on down, I don't suppose there's ever been a time but what there were men among them that were lovers of their own selves. But this is one of the identifying marks of the last days, the closing out of time. There was to be a predominant trend toward self-love. People loving their own selves, seeking their own interests, wanting their own way, getting miffed when they don't have their own way, getting their feelings hurt, getting offended, all these kind of things. And the remarkable thing about this, you see, this never intruded into the religious realm to any great extent until these last days. Paul was writing about all these things that would happen and that these people would have a form of godliness. Now, this matter of self-love has not been a predominant thing among professed Christian people until these closing out days that we're living in down here now. But the trend is that way. The world's going that way. And the accepted philosophy of our time is every fellow for himself. You go your way, I'll go mine. You do your thing, I'll do mine. You don't interfere with me, I won't interfere with you. Every fellow for himself. That's the philosophy of the world today, and it's getting to be too much of a thing among us. It's making an invasion among our own ranks. I said to Evelyn the other day, something was said about there being several congregations around that didn't have pastors. There are, but I said people don't want pastors these days. Not many folks want pastors, they want preachers. But they don't want anybody telling them what to do. They don't want any interference. I'll live my life, you live yours. That's the attitude that the people's having. Just don't anybody bother me. Don't cross me up. Don't anybody try to instruct me or teach me. I'm just living my life. People want preachers. Somebody stand up, preach to them on Sunday morning, but they don't want pastors these days. People are loving themselves. People that have a form of godliness today are lovers of their own selves. Many of them are, but they're missing the kingdom of God. Everybody that takes that course in life is missing the kingdom of God. self's going to whip people if they don't, by violence, put it down. Destroy it, mutilate it, treat it rough. Through the fall of Adam and Eve, all of the human race received a depraved nature with a loaded side toward self. And that's the side that keeps rolling up all the time in every unregenerated life. It just keeps turning up. Paul lamented in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, in verse 21, he said, I hope to send Timotheus to you shortly, that I may know your affairs. Know your state. Know how you're getting along. What you're doing. For I have no other man like-minded that I can send. For all seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ. Wasn't that sad? Paul couldn't just reach out and put his hand on a man and say, I'll send him up there to check on you and see how you're getting along. That was sad. All seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ. The thing was showing up back then, and then Paul's immediate circle of associates and helpers, he couldn't find a man that he could send up there. Everybody had their own interests, looking after their own things, doing their own thing. Didn't want to be interfered with. Didn't want their schedule disrupted. Somebody said a while back, when a suggestion was made to them in connection with the work of God, they said, oh, we don't want that. That would disrupt our schedule. Folks, we haven't gone far, have we? We have a distance to go yet. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. But people, let me remind you, saying it again for the how many it's time, I don't know this morning, that everybody that follows this course is going to miss the kingdom of God. They'll miss salvation, they'll miss eternal life in the end. It involves a denying of self. It involves a bringing of self under control. Putting ourselves down. Self-interest, self-planning, self-arrangements, everything that originates in our self, putting it down. Eliminating it. Out of us, that we might be successful in laying hold on the kingdom of God. Amen.